section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
There'll never be another you, and that's a thought that drives me mad. We're in a place I didn't choose, and it's time that I turn back. 'Cause I can't take this loneliness, and you're too blind to see you're losing me. And nobody is ever wrong, my heart and soul like you do. And nobody will take your place, make me love the way I love you. And no one has ever done what you're doing to me. Make me feel like nobody. There'll never be recovery for either one of us, and I will never find peace knowing that we could have. Can't beg you anymore to be who you won't be. Oh, what I need. And nobody is ever on my heart and soul the way that you do. And nobody will take your place, make me love the way I love you. And no one has ever done what you're doing to me. Make me feel like nobody. And no one has ever done what you're doing to me. Make me feel like nobody. You make me feel like nobody.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to another gripping episode of A Burns When I Pee, episode 194, and we have with us a longtime friend of the show, the one and only Kara Clark. Kara, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back. I think you were like my virgin podcast, and now here we are again. So.
Just many times, over and over. It's just been such a great experience, right?
No, it has, and you're always like, this is it, this is the one, so I'm thinking this is the one.
There you go. I think you and Rachel Brooke are still battling out for the most appearances. I think you've been on like 5 or 6 times.
I have. I've been on, I mean, as far back as the Sennin record, so.
Yeah.
Been great.
Been the olden days. You're the longest relationship I've ever had with a female.
Well, you're the longest relationship I've ever had with a female, or male.
So we just got done hearing the song Nobody, and that's off your brand new EP called The Key. Can you kind of talk a little bit about how that got put together?
Yeah, I don't know, I was in like a bad place last year, and I was almost just going to just write and hang here in Nashville and take a big break. And I was fortunate and lucky that, you know, my producer for this record is my guitar player in my band, and he was like, no, we're doing more. You know, he said, I know you have the material. Let's go back in. And I said, okay. So I was lucky that, you know, he was behind me because he works with Leon Russell and Ronnie Millsap. And I mean, he's done it all and opened up his studio. And I had another friend that helped me, you know, back it, as they say, because I don't do the whole give me money for a record. I won't do it.
Right.
So yeah, we got in there and we started in probably November. I brought 20 songs to the table, and you know, some of them he heard. And this is the first record that also I've let someone else take the reins completely. I just shut my mouth and okay, you tell me what to do.
Right.
So he, you know, we narrowed it down to five, and we may add five more and make a record out of it. But for now, people are so just buying singles. You know, we just thought, let's put five really great ones and go. And it's been a long, daunting, heartache-filled process, but I'm glad we did it.
Cool. And you do make a good point that, you know, with people buying digital music, that, you know, putting a whole CD together, a whole album, sometimes doing the EP is just as good because they're doing it song by song.
Exactly. And I don't, you know, even with my past projects, I tend to not think of it as here's the single and here's the throwaway and here's the, I want every one of them to count, just like in my lyrics. I don't do throwaway lines, so I'm definitely not going to do a record or an EP with just some fill-in songs. So
right.
That part's hard for me because in the past, my downloads, and I watch, you know, what they buy, and I do pretty well at the variety, but you know, if people don't realize how much money it costs to put something together, and then you've got the artwork, and it's a lot of money for a dollar here and a dollar there.
Right.
So even, you know, five songs to start is a good plan
sure.
for us.
So your first album that was out in 2010, that was Sinnin', and then you came out with Southern Hospitality in 2012, and then you put together the Kara Clark album in 2013, and that had some new stuff in it, but it also had some of the older songs in it. What do you think is different in your songwriting now as opposed to on those albums?
I think that I've settled down a bit. You know, I'm still who I am, and I'm still true to who I am. But I also got really wrapped up in being stubborn, and I think I've missed some great opportunities because my attitude or my lyrical content, which I still stand behind, and I still think all those songs on all three of those records are top-notch, you know, but at the end of the day, I'm a mother, and, you know, I have a home, I have things, and they weren't doing it for me, you know, it was like everyone loved it, but they were scared of me, I think.
Right.
So, with this new way, you know, I definitely didn't go ear candy, but I reined in, you know, I'm
sure.
Not talking about so many controversial subjects, which I don't consider controversial, but,
right.
You know, Mark, my producer, was like, let's aim for some more commercial stuff, but still be you. So that's kind of what this project is. It's definitely still me, and I'm definitely not going to bow down, but I bent quite a bit, and
sure.
I wrote them all except for Hey God, you know, so they're my material, they're my feelings, but I let them rein me in a little bit.
Do you think that, you know, being in Nashville for as many years as you have, you're not succumbing to the process, but I mean, it's possible to give a little, take a little, like you're saying, but did you kind of notice with each passing album that's probably eventually you were going to have to meet somewhere in the middle?
Definitely. And I was, like I said, I was just so stubborn. I mean, I passed up major deals, but they wanted me to quote unquote change and not be so this or that. And I was just like, nope, not changing. I'm just looking at me over here. And there were times, because I'm also a big writer. I mean, there's way more songs I've written than what I put out as an artist. And those songs aren't all like my records. I mean, I can write stuff on the radio. And last year I thought, you know what, just forget it. I'm just going to be a Nashville songwriter because I've got the talent to do it. It was not something in my goal, but it could support me and it could support my children. And that's the most important thing,
right.
Period, in my life. Not what anyone says or anyone thinks I'll sell out or they're not paying my bills.
Right.
But yeah, so on this record, I think I saw it coming, but I knew going in, this would have to be a different type of project. And it is, you know, and I'm proud of it.
Sure. You know, and one of the questions I had was, you know, how do you balance being, you know, a single mother with two two teenage kids and, you know, being the rock star Kara Clark.
It has not been easy. I mean, I've been in town 15 years, and I have a good fan base, and I love my fan base, but I'm not where I should be, and I don't regret it, and it's my priority is a mother. You know, I'm not perfect, and I've made mistakes along the way, but I've kind of kept my head on straight, and in the back of my mind, I've always said, you know, I moved them here when they were children. That wasn't their decision.
Right.
And so I didn't ever go through these years and put them under the music. So I missed out on a lot. I still, to this day, you know, I go and do shows and all I hear, all my inbox, you don't play enough. You don't play enough. You're not out there in a van for 14. I can't do it. Sorry.
Right.
I don't really want to do it. But even if I, you know, wanted to, my priority is those children. And if I missed out on some things because of it, you know, so be it. I wouldn't sleep at night anyway, you know, if I neglected them for this.
Right.
So they're older now, so this timing might be better. You know, I can go out, especially in the summer. You know, if things come up, I can, because they're older now. I just
right.
didn't do it when they were little, and I don't regret that either.
Sure. You're hitting the mark on all my questions. You're answering before I even ask them. That's how much we're in tune together.
We are. We're like a unit.
There you go. I don't know if too many people would want us around, but
Well, that's true.
No, but you know, one of the questions I was going to say was, you know, there's yet to be like an extensive Kara Clark tour, and I know that a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, you're a mother and you're taking care of your kids, but you know, they are getting older. You know, they're not going to burn themselves on the stove now.
Right.
You know, you can leave them with some money and take off. But I mean, do you feel that that's really going to be an important part of growing as artists is getting out on the road and having people that haven't already heard you, that aren't already on your fan base and aren't already buying your records to experience Kara Clark?
I mean, I think in a perfect world, yeah. I mean, that would be wonderful. It's a lot harder than people think it is, especially at my level and some of my peers' level. It's not glamorous at all. And you go to these cities and without, you know, proper marketing, you could be the greatest thing they've ever seen. But if they've never heard of you, your turnout's going to be poor. And that is a blow on anyone's self-esteem and
sure.
just emotional state. And not to mention you're in a car or a van, and it is exhausting.
Yeah.
But, you know, a wise person once told me a few years ago, it would be so enjoyable if your music was properly out there and the people came and they paid and they sang your songs and they bought your merch, and that put a whole other twist on touring.
Right.
So it's a double-edged sword. It's tiring and your ego just sinks, but you have to do it. And that's actually something I was talking this week with, you know, the guys on my team, and they're like, you need to get a show down. You know, you get it down and we'll start out in like the tri-state and then not keep you out, but you got to get out there. And I agree with that. So I used to just wing shows. And the last one I did in Nashville, I mean, I showed up in a trucker hat and I didn't even care to be there. And they totally ripped my ass when I was done. My gosh, they're like, you're not doing this again.
Right.
These people are watching you. You go in with the show, you nail it, and you leave. And I was like, okay, gosh. So I'm definitely thinking about that, and that's what I'm doing right now in my downtime. I'm actually making a show, and he wants me to play three instruments at every show. So, yes, long-winded answer, but
showing versatility.
Yeah, going to get out there.
You got to put that face out there. You got to put that voice out there.
I know.
You're going to. You're going to play for three or four people sometimes, but you're going to play for a couple hundred some other times.
Exactly. So. It's funny how that works. You know, some shows you go in dreading, and they end up being the best. And
right.
then some shows you think are going to be just, you know, you're going to knock everyone out. No one, you can't even hear yourself because everybody's talking. But it's part of it. And people tell you, you know, just pretend like you're playing for 200 people. It's not that easy in your head up there going, wow. No one cares about me, but it's true. You just have to nail everyone, you know, whether there's people there or not, and just lift your chin and go on, I guess.
Now, I believe it was the last album you put out, it was with Rusty Knuckles. Is that a relationship that's still intact?
No. No, that's, you know, I'm a pro, and I I'm a pro, is all I can say. And I'm not, you know, we don't have animosity, but we don't have, you know, there's nothing there. So he has the Kara Clark record. I don't have it. There's, I don't think there's mention of me or any pushing of that record. You know, he might say it's my fault. I don't agree. But with that said, I'm not going to make a bunch of public controversy about
sure.
it. You know, if people ask me, I'm an honest person. And I, you know, that record should have been pushed. It's a great record, but it wasn't. And I just moved on, you know. I just made this record by myself.
Sure.
Went on about my way. I'm not going to let anybody, you know, because that did have a part in my year of just dark, I'm not doing this anymore. And a lot of people believe in me and picked me up and said, yeah, you are. Go make another one. So that's what I did. I hate that that one just sits there, though. I mean, it's a good one.
Now, do your children really support you and your music as well?
Yes, totally. Yeah, they even are part of the whole, let's pick mom up and make her do this some more, you know.
Cool.
My daughter's young, so her taste in music is a typical 16-year-old girl.
Sure.
My son has a really wide variety of what, you know, he likes. He listens to Tool and then listens to Johnny Cash, and he listened to this new one. It was before it was even really mixed or mastered, and he listened to, I think, two songs and got out of the car and was like, why haven't you done this before?
Cool.
So I guess, you know, it took a while, but they've been with me, you know, since day one, so they've been around me and my music, my ups and downs, my crying, my happiness, and they've stuck right with me, and they're like, nope, get back up and do it again.
Awesome.
Okay.
So, you know, for a lot of people that follow you on Facebook and Instagram, you're pretty active. And one of the things we see a lot of is the pictures of your pit bull. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about the dog?
Yeah, she is awesome. She was in foster for quite a long time because a year before I found her, or a year before we got her, I had seen her and I applied to get her. And there was really no correspondence back with me. And I just thought, well, you know, it just didn't work out. Well, at that time, I had my other pit bull, Baxter, and he passed. And when he passed, I went back, and she was still in foster. And
wow.
I was like, so I reapplied again. I'm like, you know, what can I please at least be, you know, considered? And I guess what had happened is I got lost in the changing of some of their administration. And I think it was also she's dog aggressive. And Baxter being a male twice her size maybe had something to do with why I couldn't get her. But it was a great story because she was still there, and they just reached right out to me like, we cannot believe you still want her. And within days, they brought her to me. And she is a lazy bum. And she's ornery, and she has the worst manners. But we all adore her. So she's just kind of taking Baxter's chair and taking over the house.
Now, she's got quite a few scars. Did she have something happen to her when she was younger?
No one really knows. I know the most I know is that she was surrendered by an owner, but there were really no details how that went down. And the shelter that she was at didn't know if it's dog fighting, if it was an accident. I mean, it could have been. It's only on the right side of her. It's her whole right head, whole right shoulder. And, you know, it could have been a bait dog. We don't, no one knows.
Right.
And she was and is dog aggressive. So she's scared of dogs.
Sure.
Now, people, anyone can do anything. But animals, nope. That's why I can't have another dog, which I'd like to have like five more. But she won't have it. She's the queen of the house. So she's been through a rough life.
Sure.
We do know. She's scared of thunder. She's scared of vehicles, dogs, fireworks. So she's had a rough one. So we just going to treat her like a queen.
There you go. Now, you said you moved to Nashville around 2001. So you've been there for about 15 years or so. And you came from West Virginia, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if we've talked about this in the past. We've known each other so long, we could be overlapping, but I don't know. What made you decide to, you know, pack up and move to Nashville? Was it strictly for a career in music, or was it, you know, just a different scenery? What was kind of the major, you know, because that's uprooting, you know, your kids and your life. So what was kind of the major decision to do that?
Okay, at the time, in 01, I was married to my children's father. We had a long 12-year marriage. The last part of it, without getting too in detail because he and I are friends now, but it was on its last leg, basically. And only when I was probably 30 or younger, I mean, but in late, I didn't, like, we probably talked before, I was never in choir and I never did, you know, music at three. I never did any of that. I was too busy being crazy. So pushing 30, I just decided, oh, look at me. I'm going to teach myself the guitar and I'm going to write songs. And everybody was just, what is she doing? So I had some friends that had connections in Nashville, never been here, didn't know anything, never had a band, never played on a stage. And I was just like, I knew in my mind that we were on our last leg of marriage, and he knew, and he said, do you want me to move you to Nashville, and you can just try music? And I was like, yep. So that's what we, I mean, we literally picked up, got down here, and luckily, you know, I lied a little bit and was, oh, I had a band, and I've done this, that. I hadn't done any of that crap. But luckily, you know, people bought it, and I started playing around town and met some really cool people. In the meantime, our marriage dissolved, and I've just been me and the kids ever since, and we aren't going back. You know, even if I give this up today, we're not going back to Huntington, West Virginia. It's not going to happen, right, regardless of what my mother says, because my kids have a better opportunity here,
sure,
whether I play music or not. I mean, my daughter's at a magnet school. My son's in college here. You know, Huntington, with all the respect I have for it, is not where I would have raised them or wanted to or even go back. I'll go visit my mom and my sister. That's about it.
Sure. So the first song we played was Nobody. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about that song?
Yeah, that's fairly new, like pretty new. I love double entendres, and I love playing tricks on words, and that's just my thing, you know, and it's a true story. You know, some of my stuff I make up. The story songs, I make those up. I'm like a writer, you know, but sure, some of the ones that are really deep and dark and sad, they're, you know, about me, and I wrote it. That's how I felt, you know, in a relationship, that's where I felt, and I think a lot of people can relate to that. Sad, but there's nothing worse than feeling like that, you know. And it was funny because when I first wrote it, I played it for someone and they took it the other way. You know, you make me feel like nobody, like no one else, you know, yay. And I was like, nope. You know, listen to it again. And, you know, some days I still feel like that. I just, it's hard. Relationships are hard, and sometimes they're just sad, and that's why I wrote it. And it's pretty sad, but a true story, and I think it's great.
So the rumor is not true that it's a song inspired by your feelings toward me and Chris Miller.
I'm so sorry to say it's not, but if you all want to say that, go, you know,
no,
go with it.
Well, you know, there's you know, you gotta have an ego somehow, right?
Yeah, well, you should be glad you and Chris don't make me feel like that.
Yeah.
You all make me very like a somebody.
So
another one,
huh?
I'll have to write another one called Somebody, and it'll be about you.
Somebody. Somebody. Yeah. Somebody. Anyway, so when is the new Highway song coming? We've been talking about this for years.
Never. I wish somebody would cut that song. That's about the most radio song I've ever done. And, yeah. I mean, I could hear a lot of the females on the, you know, country radio doing it. Just take out those heavy guitars, you know? It's rock is not rocket science. It's a great song. It's just not for me. I don't even play it live.
We
I don't know why. I don't know why I hate it so much.
I really don't. I think you hate it so much because I continue to badger you about it through the years.
You're not the only person. You're not the only person. There are other people that badger me about that song just to get under my skin, I guess.
Yeah. It's one of our inside jokes for our long relationship that we've had.
It is.
So, okay. So here's some super important questions we're going to get to now. Because we did all the intense stuff. Let's just go dive deeper into your life.
Okay.
So who are you going to support for president, the presidential race in 2016?
Oh, hell no. No, sorry. I don't ever talk about one time I talked about a political view, and it was something really, because I'm so sarcastic on social media. I never get into religion and, but I mean, people just went crazy. So I'm going to say I support you.
I should run.
You should.
I got a chance to get at least 13 votes.
Well, I'd vote for you.
Oh, 14. There we go. All right. So next question is, of the Golden Girls, which one was your favorite?
You know, I want to say Blanche.
Yeah.
Because
she was sassy. You know, that's one of my favorite shows of all time. I think it was, at that time, it was quite an amazing comedy show, I thought. So
I agree with you.
And I would probably go on a date with Blanche now. Even now.
I believe that, too. I might go on a date with Blanche. I don't know. Who knows what I'm going to do?
I saw on Facebook that they're going to have like a Legos, like a Golden Girls Lego set coming out, and it's like it's got the whole like kitchen, and it's got all the characters in it. Tell me that wouldn't be awesome.
You sound a little too excited.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a job, so there's not much for me to do right now.
Yeah, me and you both.
So the next song we're going to hear on the way out of the interview is Bulletproof. What kind of put this song on the EP and made it one of the ones you chose?
I would say Mark Lambert. You know, we were going through songs and it was something I just played him on the acoustic and he was just like, yes. So he wrote that one down. You know, it's his top picks. And there were other ones that were, you know, debated on, but once you get in there and you start tracking, songs will take a totally different turn. And, you know, that's why we left Nobody there, because everything we did to it took it and made it totally different. And I would not approve of that. But Bulletproof is one that I think it's definitely country. You know, the key's not that country, but Bulletproof is. And I'm still a little edgy, but I'm not so edgy that it's not something you want to tap your foot to. And we knew putting it on there, the instrumentation we could get on there that I've never went before. I've never, you know, went down that road of, you know, hillbilly banjo. And we put so many great country instruments on it. I think that's pretty much the single, and everybody's just in love with that one. I mean, I am too.
Awesome. So right now, as of today, you don't have a release date yet. But are you going to be putting it on iTunes and Amazon and all the CD babies and stuff? Is that where the plan is?
Yes, that's where it's going everywhere. One of the companies we're working with, I mean, is talking worldwide. So I'm like, okay. So it's just, you know, it's in the business hands people right now, which I don't do. It makes me have anxiety attacks, and I just sit here and wait. And I sold a couple today. I don't think I'm allowed, but I think I sold 10. Like the first 10 people that sent me $10, I sold them. That's all I can do. But eventually when it goes up, I'll announce it and the website will be back up and it'll be hopefully, you know, everywhere till people get sick of it.
Sure.
And then I can do another one.
All right. Well, Kara, it's a pleasure having you on. Like I said, you've been on many times and you've always been a good time. And, you know, I commend you for continuing to fight through, you know, the hard times when you don't, you know, you don't even believe in yourself, but, you know, luckily you have people around you. I commend you for doing that. Like I said, we've been friends for a long time, and when I heard you had new music out, I've been patient. I've been waiting very patiently to have you back on the show. So, and I appreciate
you. I was tickled to death you wanted to. I was excited. I appreciate it, too. I mean, you have been there from the beginning, so don't think I don't appreciate that.
So we're going to put a link up to your music page on Facebook and on your Reverb Nation. What do you have the Reverb Nation web page address or whatever?
Yeah, they're both. I mean, the Facebook music page is facebook.com/Kara Clark Music, and the Reverb is too. Reverb, you know, nation.com/Kara Clark Music. They're both the same.
All right, that's the way.
You can Google me and find all kinds of crazy crap.
I Google imaged you the other day, and there's quite a few other Kara Clarks too.
I think the girl from Smallville comes up all the time. You know, I'm just like, well, I don't know anything about that. And then I've seen myself on there and be like, oh, that's not attractive.
Stop. Well, dear, it was a pleasure talking to you. Congratulations on and putting the new EP together. I really dig it, and I hope nothing but the best for you, and we will definitely have to talk soon.
Yes, thank you very much.
I've got I'm gonna be tonight. Hell has no fury.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.